Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
1 Kings, from blessings to chastening. We have been seeing in 1 Kings, from chapter 1 up until 10, we have seen this incredible blessing as Solomon has ascended to the throne and God has blessed this man with wisdom to administrate the nation, with wisdom to administer justice. Solomon had the wisdom to execute as necessary people. He organized. And we're getting into now a part where we have seen that Solomon has acquired such incredible wealth. Our last study, How Much Do You Need?, was an unbelievable study as we see the wealth to the point of absurdity. We live in a society right now, you know, most people don't bend over to pick up a penny, right? Silver was as stones in Jerusalem. They didn't bend over to pick up a piece of silver. Picture that. The wealth was unbelievable. The Queen of Sheba came. She gave him gifts. Hiram's navy brought great wealth. We looked at what Solomon did with his wealth. Well, he made pillars for the house of God and for the king's house, harps, psalteries. His annual income, astronomical, and we saw projects that he built and he completed. And Solomon has been ruined by success. Tonight we're going to consider this man that has done so much, a man that has been given everything from wisdom to wealth to respect, to recognition, and it ruined him. It's amazing to think that a man who was given such godly wisdom could be so oblivious to reality all around him. Our text is going to be 1 Kings 11, 1 through 14. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh. Women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn your heart away after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant, my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and I will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite, for he was of the king's seed in Edom. Simple outline, verses 1 through 3, Solomon's family. Verses 4 through 8, the effects of Solomon's sin. And 9 through 14, the wrath of God. Prosperity has ruined this man. His desire for excessive wealth, and now he is acting like the kings of the world. Remember his reflections late in life. Go back to verse 4 of 1 Kings 11. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart. But also when he was old and he looked back, consider Ecclesiastes 2:10. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. In the last chapter, we saw this incredible wealth. But we don't see that he was really taking care of the people of the kingdom. The truth is, they are the one who are doing all of this labor, building after building after building after building. And the Navy. The sailors had to leave home for a time, away from their families, to bring back gold for Solomon. What do the people care that the king has a gold-covered throne? What do the people care that the king had gold drinking cups? What do people care that the king had apes and peacocks? Honestly, he wasn't thinking about the people at all. He was so absorbed in all the wealth that was around him. And these people were under a heavy burden, and this is soon going to be considered. It's all going to come to a head. Please take a look as we keep the flow of the passage. Remember, chapter divisions weren't there when this was originally written. 1 Kings 10:28. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen yarn, and the king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And so for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria did they bring them out by their means. But King Solomon loved strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, as we have read. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I want that. I want that. I want that. And now we're starting to see, I want her for my wife, and I want her, and I want her. He had 1,000 women. Do you realize that's bigger than some towns? Can you possibly imagine a crowd? I don't know, what's this room set up for? 10 times this, and they're all your spouse. Do you see the absurdity of all this? When you really start to think about it. I mean, even if just all these chairs were filled with your spouse, would be absurd. Multiply it by 10. What a world! 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women. Strange is in the meaning of they were foreigners. They weren't seeking the true God. You know, in my studies, I can't find where Solomon took a Jewish wife. I wonder how they like that. All this money is going to these foreign women worshiping idols. And we're doing all the work. He already has two wives. His first is Naamah, who bore him Rehoboam, who's going to be the next king, and the Egyptian daughter of Pharaoh, his second wife, that he already built a palace for her. What are you thinking, Solomon? Consider 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3 says, and Solomon loved the Lord. And in chapter 11, verse 1, but Solomon loved many strange women. I hope if you don't get anything out of this, you see the reality of serving God, seeking Him. Way back in the law under Moses, Exodus 34:11, observe thou which I command thee this day, Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, like where Solomon is, lest it be a snare in the midst of thee. Verse 13, but you shall destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves. Thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after other gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters, and unto thy sons and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods. God warned them, and he still takes all these women. Concubine. Personally, the way I look at a concubine, they played with words. Well, I really don't have two wives. One's a concubine. What's a concubine? Well, you know, it's like a wife. I personally believe it's like today with abortion. It's not a baby we're killing, it's a fetus. Let's play with words. That's how I perceive a concubine. He has now gold in excess. He has women in excess. You have to wonder if these women had any choice to be or not to be his wife. I have a very strong suspicion these women were not happy. How could they be? Because they have now lost their right to one man, one woman, to go have a happy home and enjoy your family. You know, what's interesting, too, is it says Solomon later in years, these women turned him from God. Add these 1,000 women to the list of Solomon's servants who are longing for the oppression to end. He goes home and there's 1,000 women that aren't happy. And yet Solomon is in oblivion to the condition of his people and of his wives and concubines. How many wives suffer? The husband may not necessarily have physically other women, but that he has other interests that take him away from his wife. Husbands, let's be careful we don't do that. You must cherish your wife. Solomon has neglected common sense, decency, and God's plan for the family. Solomon has forgotten the wife of his youth, and yet written in the Proverbs by Solomon, talking to his son, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Solomon would be a fool to think that these women were happy, but you get to live in the palace with me. Yeah, 999 other women. And how many kids are running around? Honestly. And do you realize how many... The way he's pandering to these ladies, I suspect that the servants are taking care of them. It was a miserable life. You have to wonder if the women fought with each other. Surely there was strife. I can't believe there was total harmony. The effects. Verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David. You got to get this. David did murder. David did commit adultery, but David stopped it. Solomon hasn't stopped. He has just sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned. So it is. He has forgotten God. God hasn't forgotten him. And his day is coming because no man is exempt. I'm the king. I can get away with this. For a time you can get away with this. And there is coming a day of reckoning. And that day is coming. Surely these wives that he had were not given the father, the husband, that they deserved. Rather, I would say, honestly, Solomon set an example for abusing women. Verse 7, let's consider the nation here. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem. I perceive that to be the Mount of Olives. If that's wrong, oh well, we know this. It's right in front of Jerusalem. in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon, and likewise did he for all his strange wives, at least 1,000 altars. They each have their own place of worship, which burned incense and sacrificed unto their gods. I want you to imagine how upset the people were. We worked for 13 years to build that temple, and you build these pagan places. And believably, they were the laborers. Solomon is in oblivion. He did for all his strange wives. It's devastating to the nation spiritually. Their spirit is broken. He's lost his discernment. The judgment that he had is gone. The judgment of God is coming. Now, several generations will suffer because of this idolatry. When Solomon supported and provided for a place for Molech, he never intended the consequences which came. Make a note of this. 2 Kings 23:10. This is now, obviously we're in 1 Kings. This is back towards the end of 2 Kings. Years have passed. I want you to see what has happened with worship. 2 Kings 23:10, and he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, and that no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire to Molech. They had to stop burning their children. That's how far gone Israel got. And it lays at the feet of Solomon. What were you thinking? But how often do we don't really think through the potential consequences of our sin. God is serious, and he says, would you do it my way? It's really best. And yes, it may have its trials and tribulations, but there I will bless you. And we have the wrath of God. 1 Kings 11:9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon. Do you see the incredible interaction between heaven and earth? And our deeds, our thinking matters. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared to him twice. And I want you to get this. The more you grow in the Lord and the more you know, the more you're accountable. God has blessed and illuminated you. And when we know more, more is expected of us. Verse 10, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not. Did you do right before God? Folks, that's where the victory is in life. Whether it is your daily job, whether it's financial matters, whether you're whatever your problem, whatever your goals and challenges are, it's all dependent upon your spirituality or the lack thereof. In verse 11, God rebukes him. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, well, let's go back to the end of verse 9. And his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared to him twice. Verse 11, he comes to him a third time. And this time it isn't pretty. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. God is going to rend or rip apart the nation because of this great sin of Solomon. There are 12 nations. 10 will make up the northern kingdom. 2 will be making up the southern kingdom. Solomon's sin will cause them to lose in vast majority of the kingdom. 1 Kings 11:14, and the Lord stirred up an adversary. We're going to spend a lot more time on this in a message coming. Do you see the sovereignty of God? Solomon sinned, And verse 14, the Lord stirred up an adversary. He got in the thinking of that man and said, you're going to be an enemy to Solomon. You can read about that. When Israel did wrong, he stirred up their enemies. When they did right, they dwelled at peace. It is the same in our lives. God is in control. Do wrong and God can stir up enemies. Do right and God will bless you. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. He's in part of the kingdom. And God stirs this man up. If you remember in our last chapter, we're talking about all of this gold and wealth, and this Queen of Sheba transports this incredible group of people and wealth, and they're not attacked. And we don't read anything about armies having to defend. They're in incredible peace, and yet there's wealth all over. And now he has an adversary. He hasn't had to deal with this before. Well, I shouldn't say that. He had to deal with this when Adonijah was trying to take the throne in the early days. But he's enjoyed a lot of peace. And now, because of his own sin. In 1 Kings 6, 7, and 8, we see Solomon building the temple. In 1 Kings 9 and 10, we see of Solomon's power and wealth. And in 1 Kings 11, we see Solomon's fall and punishment. God is angry with Solomon because he's not doing right. And the root problem is turning from God. Oh, that we would learn this lesson. Solomon ruled over men, but he forgot that God ruled over him. He lived a life of luxury to the neglect of the people of God. In 1 Kings 11 through 13, we see that Israel will divide. In 14 to 22, which was a message coming up, obviously, we will see that Hadad will be risen up to oppose Solomon. In 23 to 25, Rizon will raise up to oppose Solomon. And in 26 to 40, Jeroboam will arise to oppose Solomon because he did wrong. He had so much spiritual life. You know, it's interesting. God didn't say, because you did this, I'm going to take away your 1,000 wives. No, I'm going to let you wallow in it. Because I'll bet it wasn't very pleasant. You want it, you got it, buddy. And he had to deal with it. Sometimes God doesn't take away what we thought we needed. And that can be one of the worst things God can do, let you have your own way. And he got his own way. And God says, no, I'm going to let you keep them. Surely Solomon knew, finally, it was wrong. But I want you to truly appreciate, really, really knuckle down on this truth. How could a man with such spiritual insight and God-given wisdom not see that taking 1,000 women and building pagan temples for them is wrong? Here's the point. Spirituality is real, and the devil can blind you to truth, and you pinch yourself later on saying, did I really do that? Yes, there really is the power of the devil and powers of evil and our own sin nature that can blind us so badly we can take 1,000 women and not think anything of it. That's sobering. It took Solomon a long time to figure this out. As a matter of fact, God had to really confront him and saying, I'm going to rend this kingdom. He started to get his attention. That is a grand reality I hope you never forget. How can you be so blind? That's why we see this. The world out there is blinded to the gospel. That's why we look at this world and say, what are they thinking? Because that's the true power of the spiritual battle. They are so mentally blinded, that's why the battle is not fought with weapons of flesh. It's a spiritual battle. We must use spiritual tools. Only God can break down those stony walls in there that are keeping them from truth. You could have grabbed Solomon by the lapels and shake him and say, "What are you thinking?" And he wouldn't have thought anything of it. Although he probably would have had somebody execute you, but anyway. He would have not come to his senses even if shaken. This is how, when you look at somebody and their hardened heart, we call it, their thinking is so wrong, you shake your head saying, "What are you thinking?" It's a spiritual battle. Anytime you look at that and you say, "What is this person doing? How can they do this? How can they say that's okay?" Because they're that far gone, like Solomon was. Please don't ever forget that profound truth. "And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom." This lesson's for us today. I want you to remember this. Israel's going to get taken off into Assyrian captivity and into Babylonian captivity. Nehemiah will be given the right to take a group back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. They got themselves into trouble again, and Nehemiah reminds them of Solomon. Please read Nehemiah 13:25. "And I, Nehemiah, contended with them, the people of Israel that sinned, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, 'You shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves.'" Stop this intermarriage. What are you guys thinking? Verse 26, "Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things?" Hundreds of years later, they're still remembering this. "Yet among many nations there was no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin." This warning from the life of Solomon is just as relevant to us today as it was with the Jews, with Nehemiah. Did you know God is serious about sin? Very serious about sin. He is slow to anger. He is merciful. He is gracious. But there does come a time, enough is enough. Let us learn before we get to enough is enough. Let us learn and get ourselves back on track. Solomon surely was warned, but he did not heed those warnings. Let us learn to obey the word of God. Let us learn to do right.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.